taught the little kids their alphabets? Isn't this how they taught the Jewish people, the priests taught, the rabbis taught the kids their alphabets?
They probably did. I would've, if I knew, I didn't know they were alphabets.
But we're in, one thirty-seven. Starting on 37, I can get a little sheet.
137.
And that word is the 18th word, and it's to say it, to say it. And the, it's a picture of a trail. You know, like a trail in the woods, it's a picture of a trail. And it means journey, chase, or hunt. Journey, chase, or hunt. So, we're gonna look, see what we're looking for, chasing after, running after. You know, last week or the week before, we talked about, you know, the eyes, and then we, you know, that's what that's good for, in the mouth, but we're gonna see what we're gonna run after. 137, righteous are thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me because my enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. Excuse me. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. So we see our theme there is righteousness. You know, the Lord told us what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, this trail, what we're looking for.
Right.
And his righteousness, and our righteousness is who? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Right up. But let's flip over to, going over in the New Testament, get a better understanding of our righteousness. And let's flip to 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, and verse 27. It says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen to bring naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and what was you talking about this morning, Debbie?
Redemption.
Redemption. That according to it is written, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, let's go on and read some more. When I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring of you the testimony of God. For I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I love Paul saying that, man. That it all goes back to that crucifixion, darling. What he did for us, you know. We took communion this morning to remember him and what he did for us. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God.
Amen.
Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of the world, that come out, but we speak the wisdom of God and mystery too. Let's flip on over to Romans. You know, we're talking about righteousness there. And Romans here, if I can find it. Got to go backwards and find that. Romans chapter 10. Was starting verse 4. For Christ is the end of law for righteousness to everyone that believes. But Moses describe the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith, speak on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, or who shall descend into the deep. But what does it say? It says the words nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with a mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made in salvation. But while I was trying that, you know, righteousness of the heart, what he did for us, believing in him, he owes our righteousness. And, you know, I think that's what we as Christians all need to grow in. Mm-hmm. You know, never let that depart from our eyes, you know, that the Lord is our righteousness.
Amen.
And always, you know, a good confession. I'm the righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. But,
here we are.
Share some house. We're looking at the Lord, you know. There in Revelations, you know, the scriptures tell us, be ye holy, for I am holy. But, you know, there in Revelation, the 24 elders and the four beasts, you know, they fall before the Lord crying, holy, 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 you know, day and night. But it says these creatures or these beasts are full of eyes,
mm-hmm.
and they see the Lord, and they, you know, the Bible tells us to be holy, but how are these beasts holy? They're holy by beholding the Lord,
mm-hmm.
seeing him,
mm-hmm.
see, always looking at him,
yeah.
and that's how they're holy. And that's how we become holy, by always looking at the Lord. But I'm praying this morning, had a little picture of their house on the wall on the bedroom, and I got to thinking about it. You know, they say a picture's worth a thousand words. But, you know, out of these children here, these four children,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, something caught my attention about them, you know. I thought, hey, this little girl sitting in the lap of the Lord with her arm, the Lord's arms holding her, I thought, you know, that'd be a great position to be in, wouldn't it? And we're in Christ, don't get me wrong. But I noticed she's kind of distracted. Look, I mean, it's like she's looking away. Even though she's in the lap of the Lord, she's looking away, you know.
Everybody else is looking towards him.
And this little boy here, he got seemed like he's got his eyes closed. Even though he's next to the Lord, he's got his eyes closed and he can't see his mouth there or nothing. But I noticed this little boy, you know, he's got a pretty good grin on his face. But he's looking at the backside of the Lord, you know. He's, you know, he ain't got a real good view of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed this little old girl here. She's looking at his face.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she may kind of feel a little distance from him, you know, she's more distant, looks like, than all these other little children. But yet she's looking at his face. And you know, it's like Holy Spirit, you know, tell me something in my heart. heart, you know, I always look to the Lord. Oh, that's where you want to be. You want to be this little girl right here. I always look to the Lord. Don't get your eyes off of it. You know, don't get your eyes off the work of the cross. Don't get your eyes off what he's done for us. But I thought I'd share that picture with you this morning.
You know what I see, David?
What's that?
I see the joy on Jesus' face having his children around him.
Oh, yeah. He does love the children of the world. But, anyway.
That is good.
But, you know, righteousness is a big topic in Scripture. And, you know, ain't none of us arrived. We're all on that journey. We're all on that chase. But, you know, Ray's talking about when we get that new body. I heard Joseph Prince talking this week. Maybe y'all heard him speak it too. But he was talking about sin in the flesh, you know. And, you know, even though, you know, you may have some kind of thoughts just pop something. Nasty, you know. Somebody pull out in front of you, you know, you might be on the verge of cussing them out, you know, or something like, but there's still sin in that flesh. But when we get that new body, amen, we have all that behind us.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking about.
And you know, I don't exactly know when we get the new body. Well, when we go to heaven, we won't have that spiritual body, so it won't be like our earth suit, but it'll be. Even before that, you're going to have a pure mind and your spirit and all. So your spirit and your soul is going to be completely whole. And you won't get your body till later. So we're actually going to be celebrating a lot before you can get that body. Because we won't be in it for a while.
But remember, now we're inside out.
Yes.
Adam was a spirit. Mm-hmm. He couldn't see his flesh because of the light.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a light bulb. You can't see the bulb. You can just see that bright, bright light. Well, that's the way he was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he sinned, he was turned inside out. Spirit was on the inside, but the flesh was on the out. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We're going to get back the way we were at the beginning, because even now, God doesn't see us. It's like those Russian dolls. You only see the big doll on the outside,
mm-hmm.
and all the little ones on the inside, because when God's beholds his son. When I'm praying, I said, Father, behold your son, my bridegroom. I'm in him.
Amen.
And as he is there without sickness or fear, so am I in this world. So I just remind him, you know, he's looking to him. He doesn't see us.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he did, you know what I'm saying? It's like I'm looking at you, but if you were literally turned inside and out now, there'd be guts and I couldn't look at you. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like, wah. So he can't behold sin. He's not even seeing us. He's just seeing his perfect son. Otherwise, he'd have toasted us a long time ago.
I see when we get our new bodies, he's going to be equipped for our new job here on this earth.
That's
New
good,
Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. Let me go
there. But you got to realize when you go on to be with the Lord, if the Lord tarries, you're not aware of time in heaven. So.
Right.
No,
it's just
there.
Like, that's
there's
all
no
they don't miss nobody.
That's
it's like they just saw you.
That's why he told me, he says, you know, I answer your prayers. There's no time here.
Mm-hmm.
You're moving through time. I drop it 2 days, 2 months, 2 years, 10 years out. You've got to stay into faith till you get there. And he said, people tend to say, I don't answer their prayers. He said, they just don't stay in faith till they get to that point in time.
Because he has to work in the
realm
of time here.
He has to work in the realm of time where we live. But where he is, there's no time. But, you know, light, when you're traveling at the speed of light, time slows down. But if light is perfect, then there is no time. When you're in a perfect light, there is no time. But the natural light here, speed of light, time slows down to almost nothing. But he's the perfect light, so there's no time there. Well, I'm a nerd. I'm a science nerd, so.
Well, thank you for sharing it.
Just think about it. He's answered. When you prayed, he answered. just say in faith as you walk, and he says, your words are like stepping stones. What you're saying is determining how you get there, if you get there.
Morning.
So keep those words in line with what you've prayed and what you are believing rather than what you're seeing.
You know, going back to what I said about Paul, you know, glory and nothing but the cross. Was that cemetery up here in Midway yesterday? They had done their declaration thing. And noticed on different headstones, you know, a lot of scriptures and this and that and other. But, you know, there's nothing to speak to you like the cross, is it, on a, I mean, that, you know, that person put their trust in the Lord. You know, I love going up 78 or I-22 now with Jasper and that big cross. You know, that thing will just speak to you on it. And, but keep your eyes on him. Come on, folks.
All right. Yeah, Dave, I like what you said about how that little girl was looking to Jesus. Yeah, I was blessed last night. I was channel surfing. First, I watched Charles Stanley, and then I scrolled down a little bit after he went off, and I saw somebody that was familiar on TV, and that was our pastor.
Really?
Yeah, on Channel 80, he was on, and and I watched the rest of the broadcast. And I saw some things while he was teaching. This was about, I guess, a week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago that broadcast aired. But he was teaching about how to stick with your faith and, you know, stay in faith no matter how it looks, no matter how it feels. And I'm looking at him and I'm imagining Jesus right there with him. When we take him at his word by faith, he's right there with us. If our heart stays in faith, if we have faith in our heart, we can use it, and God will back it up all the time. And the man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus walked up to him and said, "Will you be made whole?" And I'm like, you know, if coming from the world, you would think that was being rude. You know, looking at it from the worldly standpoint, like, what can he do? But Jesus was looking at, he had enough faith to keep coming. So he had some faith that was to keep coming to the pool so that, you know, somebody might roll him in there when the water's troubled. So he really wanted to walk. But Jesus said, "Will you be made whole?" That says a lot to us. We can determine our reality at our will. We can determine it, and the Lord will back us up. When we put our faith in God's word and we speak it, we put a demand out there. You know, I was listening years ago to Mark 11, Mark chapter. I listened to the whole chapter, and I heard the, you know, the scriptures about faith. And the Lord said, He just spoke to me and said, faith is a definer. And you know, in the dictionary, words are defined all the time. They define what the words mean. Well, your faith defines life, your life. It can define you. You can, a man that was a sinner when he believed on Jesus, he's redefined as a child of God. A man that was sick, he claims healing, he's redefined as healed. And because you believe it before you see it. And that's when it's done. And everything will fall in order. It'll come to order, just like troops when the captain walks up. You put a demand out there. And the Holy Spirit is always ready to to give us whatever knowledge and revelation we need. But first you have to be a student. You have to want it. You have to.
You're saying, like, if you looked up faith in the dictionary, if you needed healing, it's ain't healing.
Yeah.
If you looked up, you've got a problem, you need deliverance, faith would say deliverance. If you've got a money problem, faith would say prosperity.
Yeah.
That's good. Thank you, don't it?
It'll define.
Don't limit your faith.
Yeah. We don't have limits.
Right.
There are no limits. Not on God's end anyway.
The other thing, this is just from my life, you wouldn't frustrate your child. And he gives me little things along the way to show me that it's coming. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if you tell your kids we're going to Disney World in September.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you know, it's June, and in July you tell the kids, let's go, you need a couple of pair of shorts and a swimsuit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The kids get excited. They know. And then
it's
in August, you say, you know, you guys, that pavement's hot. You're going to need some flip-flops.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying he's giving me road signs along the way so I don't get discouraged.
Amen.
Yeah.
And we need that.
Yes.
You know you're still hanging on to your faith, because you've seen the kids that grab their parents' feet and they were walking like the kids on their feet. I'm hanging on.
And also,
I'm hanging on, but he's giving me things along the way to say, okay, Deb. And then he makes me remember how in the past he gave me those roadblocks along the way.
So he does do that.
He doesn't want you to get frustrated in the journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe just one small thing, but it's enough to say, okay, you remember my address, got it.
And he also, that's why you don't forsake the 7 years yet together. Because the bottom line, she prayed for me this morning. And it was an encouragement. It was from God. It was
The Lord was strong between us two.
Yes, so, like iron sharpens iron, but you know, it's very important for the body of Christ to assemble itself together and to take care of itself in love, to edify itself in love.
Yeah.
So when, I can tell you, after traveling, being with my family for several days, cooking every day, hanging out with them, packing the car, I was so tired this morning, it was like he had to drag me by the car. Lord, just let me sleep. So, no, baby, you gotta get up and go. Just work out. You got to be on time, so you'll be there in time for communion. So I'm telling you, I could lie right here on this concrete floor this week.
when
this hard cold.
When you can take your nap when you get home.
When good things used to happen when I was starting out in my journey with the Lord, a guy named Chris Lucas said, you know, Satan's going to try to get you back. And so I took his warning seriously. I received what he said. And he listed things that the devil was doing. When the devil did it, I laughed at it. It didn't confuse me. I knew it was him. So I knew, I learned his pattern. I knew he was coming back. I knew he was going to try something. Every time a miracle happened, I said, I'm going to remember this against the evil days or the evil attacks. So every day is a good day with God. But against the evil times, I'm going to remember what God did. And it helped me to...
Pastor's children when he started to preach.
Yeah. And I started paying attention to the Holy Spirit. And my parents taught, they lived the Word of God. And I wasn't a Christian yet. I didn't get saved till I was 19. When I was a child, I didn't think about it. When I was an adolescent, I said, well, I don't know. I didn't know what I wanted. But I knew. I love the Christian life, but I didn't know whether I would do right or not. It was weird, and I didn't know whether I wanted to. So I had to deal with all that. I had to sort all that out. But I knew that I could see that their life worked, and they would teach me the Word of God. And I enjoyed going to church. And I was learning. But I wasn't really learning. You know, when I became a Christian, it's different. When you're not a Christian, you don't see things the same way.
You're looking at everything you see is the way it is. But I didn't know how my parents felt. I didn't know the peace that they had. Because I didn't have it. They had it. Their peace inspired me to want what they had. Mm-hmm. And once I got saved, I said, why didn't anybody tell me that it was like this? And I was angry. I was literally angry. I said, nobody told me I felt God's presence for the first time. And the Lord spoke to me. I had just gotten asked him to save me. I said, how come nobody told me? I could have went to hell. I didn't know it was like this. He said, the same enemy that hindered you from getting saved hindered them from showing you what it's like. And I knew to forgive them. I had to forgive them. I was really angry because I could have went to hell. And I was mad at my parents, and I was mad at every Christian because they didn't show me that it was this good. And so looking back on it, a sinner don't know what you feel. They don't know the peace you have. They don't know the blessed assurance. They just hear about it. They don't know what peace is. The dictionary version of peace and the peace that we have is two different things. And ours is much greater. But the revelation of the Lord is what helped me to go forward. Every time I learn something, I say, I'm going to hold on to that and not forget it. And I worked on not forgetting what the Lord said. And during the hard times, I was able to stand. And I learned something that what I saw last night when the pastor was preaching, the Lord is always right there. It's like he's sitting in the bleachers cheering for, you know, a parent cheering for their son to make the home run or make the touchdown or catch the ball, whatever they're doing. God wants to see us win. And he thinks of everything. And when she was saying about how the Lord would give you, he'll do things to give you little roadblocks, signs along the way that you're on track. When I do his work, I depend on him for accuracy, so I can be say the right thing at the right time and not fail. I don't want the time to come where I should act and then I freeze, or the time to come for me to say something and I don't, or God give me a word and I feel too uncomfortable to share it and I freeze. Which I have done that before. So I started saying that I will do all that's in his heart. So once he give me any assignment, no matter how small or large it may seem, I make it happen.
He told me once, these were my stupid days, stuck on stupid. He says, Deborah, I can't drive a parked car. And I've noticed in my life since then, if I start moving, you know, mm-hmm. that old rap song, if I move, you move. And after that, you know, he tell me to do something. If I start doing it, it's like